My guest is Emil Artolino, director of the new film Dirty Dancing. He spent most of his career bringing dance to the screen. He directed many editions of the PBS Dance in America series, and he won an Academy Award for a dance documentary. Dirty Dancing is set in 1963 at a Catskill Mountain resort. Jennifer Grey plays Baby, a teenager on vacation with her family. Patrick Swayze plays Johnny, the hotel dance instructor. He's paid to teach the guests mambo and cha-cha, but on his off hours, he does a different kind of dancing. Baby discovers it when she wanders into a staff party. Emil Artolino described the dancing that left Baby so shocked and excited.
Dirty dancing in the film sort of looks like very close, sensual partner dancing that to rock music of the early 60s, with a lot of hip contact, hip to hip, pelvis to pelvis, and shoulder to shoulder, a lot of sensual body contact.
I'd never heard the term dirty dancing before. Did you?
To tell you the truth, I'd never heard the term dirty dancing before I read this script. But the writer, Eleanor Bergstein, had actually dirty danced in the early 60s in some Brooklyn basements. And I grew up in Queens. We didn't dirty dance, apparently, in the basements of Queens. But it is something, as I got into the film, that I realized did exist and existed in different cities at that time. I met someone from Detroit. He said, oh, yeah, we used to dirty dance. And that's what they called it. And though it never surfaced above ground on something like American Bandstand, it did exist.
Your movie has a PG-13 rating. Did you have to cut any sequences that you filmed in order to get the PG-13 instead of an R?
We did. Yes, we did. But I don't think anything that we cut is missed, frankly. We had to cut a few. The movie was a bit rougher in language, and there was a little bit of nudity in some of the love scenes. But Vestron decided that this movie was a movie that a wide audience could enjoy. And for to adjust those few things to broaden our audience seemed a small thing to do. And we did resubmit it and got our PG-13 rating.
Through movies like Flashdance and through music videos, I think audiences have come to expect a very fast-paced editing style in dance sequences. Mm-hmm. And also a lot of close-ups where instead of seeing a whole body dancing, you see the feet or the head or an
right.
arm. You didn't take that approach in your movie. You go through for longer periods of time where the camera's on the dancers. You see more of their body. You see full bodies a lot of times.
Well, this sort of fits in with my philosophy about filming dance, whether it's television or film, and that is I always trust the dancing and trust the dancers and believe that the movement is interesting enough to an audience, so you don't have to do that much to it. Now, you know, there are different sequences in the movie that I approach differently. For me, I want the film audience to feel like they're part of the audience, too, and I want them to actually see the dancing. So I favor longer shots and going in for close-ups for that particular emotional moment that I want to emphasize. But I insisted when I first came into the movie that I wanted dancers, actors who could dance. So that I wouldn't be forced to do a lot of intercutting of different body parts a la Flashdance. I mean, I think the producers at that movie had to do that because, the actress and the dancer were two different people.
I've often wondered why the kind of fast-paced, highly edited approach to dance sequences caught on the way it did. And from what you said, I guess that has something to do with the fact that you sometimes have to cover up or compensate for the shortcomings of the dancers.
I think that's true. I think it also is, part of that technique is to sort of bombard the audience with images and sound, music, and the effect of that can be numbing. I think in the case of Dirty Dancing, the dance is tied into the story. All of the dance numbers either move the plot along or reveal character, so that there's an emotional involvement in what's going on if you care about these characters. And I certainly tried to make the audience care. In the videos, which are such short-form type things, you know, it's very hard to build up any kind of rapport or care about the people or the characters in those videos. So you don't have the kind of emotional investment. Plus the fact that, I mean, this movie takes place in 1963, so I didn't want it to feel like it was 1987, even in its cutting style or shooting style.
You mentioned how in Flashdance there was a lot of quick-cut type editing because Jennifer Beals, who played the leading role, didn't do her own dancing. Did you ever use stunts in Dirty Dancing for the mambo sequences, especially for the jumps and lifts?
No, no doubles for the jumps and lifts. There is one small sequence in the movie where there is a double for Jennifer. And it's a very brief shot. I don't think people realize it. And that's the way I'd like to keep it. I sort of don't want people looking for a double when they go to see the movie. But there was just one sequence that was a little dangerous. And we did have a double come in for very briefly. Patrick did, for the most part, did most of his own stunts, or if you want to call them that.
Now, he had to look on screen as if he was trained in Arthur Murray-type dancing, but in fact, the actor Patrick Swayze was a principal dancer in the Elliot Feld company. Did you have to work with him in looking like a trained ballroom dancer instead of a trained modern dancer?
You know, a dancer is a dancer, and Patrick's a very good dancer, so he picked it up quickly. But he had to learn the basics of mambo. It's not easy to dance on the two. And they had to learn that and get the style and get the looseness in the hips and the kind of keeping of the frame and the upper body. So yes, he didn't have it when he came into the rehearsal of the movie, but he certainly had it by the time we started shooting.
You've made most of your career in dance. You've shot many of the installments of the PBS Dance in America series. You've done some dance documentaries. You won an Academy Award for one of them. Are you a dancer yourself?
No. When I was in college, I wanted to be an actor, a performer. I did, you know, I studied acting and singing and dancing because I was going to be a triple threat. But I also love to go. As a teenager, I began to go to dance events in New York City, and I for whatever reason, it just captured my imagination. I liked all those bodies in space to music, and I was exposed to great choreography at an early age, you know, George Balanchine and Martha Graham, people like that.
When you are directing a dance documentary or a dance film, do you think of yourself as the choreographer of the camera?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, I think you have to realize that dance in front of any camera, whether it's a television camera or a film camera, you're dealing with a space that's two-dimensional. With a television screen, it's pretty small. With a movie screen, it can be a lot bigger. But you're always trying to create the illusion of space. And the way you do that is how you frame it. Because every time you make a cut, you're changing the space that the dancer is in. And that affects the audience's feelings. It affects its perception of the moment. There's a kinetic response that you get. So if you are framing and you're moving the camera, all of those things, and depending upon what lens you're using, all of those things affect how the moment is perceived. Then you take all of those shots and you put them together in an editing pattern, which indeed is choreographic in its own right, editing, because it has rhythm, it has duration, it has, you know, many of the qualities of movement itself. It all together combines to create a total effect.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, my pleasure.
Emil Artelino directed the new film Dirty Dancing.